hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you every second and fourth Friday of the month right here at Holy Spirit Radio. We are live in the studio today on this Friday, the second Friday of Lent. We are in the second week of Lent, Friday, March 22nd. Pray that is going well for you. Pray you're having a blessed Lenten journey. And if not, we're going to talk about today how we can kick it into gear if we're struggling or if we're just, we've missed the boat as far as the launch into the journey of Lent, and somehow we've been dragging our feet, or if we're off to a great start. Hopefully this program today will affirm you, confirm what you're doing. We're going to talk about our sacrifices and the things we're doing and why we're doing it and why it's important to continue with this practice beyond Lent. It's not just for Lent, although a wonderful time of liturgically to do such. And we pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who look at Lent as the church putting some sort of legalism onto them, that don't see the value in the liturgical calendar and why Holy Mother Church has these penitential times during the year of Advent and Lent, why we do that. And so today, just want to talk a little bit about the benefits that we gain from the work that we do during Lent and why it's something that, why we as Catholic Christians should not look upon this, rather, as just something for 40 days. Yes, very special for 40 days. But anyhow, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about this past feast of St. Joseph the Worker, where we just had this anniversary here at Holy Spirit Radio, where we've been on the airwaves for 20 years. This past feast of St. Joseph, the patron of this apostolate here, where we began literally the airwaves on that feast. I think it was 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have Dale or Jane in the studio here, or Frank, but I'm pretty sure it was. And we talk about the great fruit of the patron of the Universal Church and having a devotion to him, and how many neglect St. Joseph and his role. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Lent, our journey, where we're at, check in with one another. I'll give you some reflections on that, and then we're going to talk about St. Joseph. So that's where we're going. So as we begin our program today, let us code it in prayer. And let's invite St. Joseph to intercede for us, to grant us great wisdom as men. This program is designed in its nature to speak to men, but it's for everyone. But it's a men's apostolate, the King's Men. And so we invite St. Joseph to pray for us now, to beseech his foster son, Jesus, and in his throne room, to pray for each one of our listeners, each one of their needs. Many of us today are just struggling with a lot of different things going through in our minds, in our hearts. We have anxieties, we have worries, we have fears. We just invite St. Joseph to intercede on behalf of us before his son, his foster son, in that throne room, to ask for the desires of our heart to be granted, if they be but pleasing and in the will of God. And we call upon his spouse, Mary, to intercede for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So there we go. We are off, and we have begun not only another program here at Holy Spirit Radio, but another Lenten journey. For me, it's my 45th year. A lot of Lenten journeys, and everyone's different. It's my favorite time of the year. Why is it my favorite time of the year? I just like what all of it represents to me, an intentional effort to grow closer to Jesus. I like that. I like that the church gives me an opportunity through its encouragement, through the sacraments and the liturgy, to move towards Christ, to move towards understanding the salvific power of Christ and the cross, and the redemptive power of the cross, to understand that more deeply. We just returned from our 17th installment of our Samson Retreat, where we really dive deep into the theology of the cross. And that's really at the core of this Lenten journey, that we see this time of journey towards the cross, because there is no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. And so we journey in preparation. Yes, in a similar way as the 40 years that the Israelites spent before they entered the Promised Land, of course, the 40 days that Christ was in the desert before he began his public ministry. Of course, its symbolism is there. But this journey of dying to self, as Christ emptied himself, the kenosis of Christ, as it's called, I think in Greek, the kenosis of Christ, he emptied himself, self-emptying. That's what Lent is all about. To empty oneself. And that's why I like it, because the church gives me an opportunity to die to my ego, which I heard once said is edging God out. That's an acronym for ego, edging God out. But we should move towards that ego, which is exalting God only. All right. So we die to ourselves in Lent. And today on this Friday, second Friday of Lent, of course, we abstain from meat. Now, this is a liturgical practice that's been in place for many, many years. Since the beginning of the church, there was these practices, penitential practices, and we abstain from meat on Friday to remember the cross, to remember the cross. And so the church requires and asks every one of its believers to do that every Friday during the year. So we should be abstaining from meat every Friday during the year. Now, in recent times, the church has allowed, and this is, again, the church has never changed this precept, this teaching that we should offer a meat sacrifice on Friday. The church never changed that. The church said, however, in substitution for the meat sacrifice, a penitential act could be rendered. Okay, so what does that mean for us? It means all throughout the year, if you're not going to abstain from meat on Friday, then you need to do a penitential act. Well, what does that look like? Some people might say, well, I'll just pray a rosary on this day. Well, that's not penance. Now, for some of you who haven't prayed a rosary in a long time, it might seem like penance, but that's not penance. That's not a penitential act, an act of reparation. You need to do something in a penitential way. Now, in the old times of the church, people might wear a hair shirt or do something of sacrifice, of inconvenience that would be difficult. Something to offer back to the Lord in reparation for damage done to the Sacred Heart, in reparation for all of our sins. We remind ourselves that we are dust as we get those ashes on our forehead, and from dust we shall return. So we are nothing. We began with nothing. And so we die to ourselves. We die to the excess, the things we would want, a steak, a cheeseburger, a cheesesteak. What else could we die from? Die from doing something that gives us great pleasure. It may mean sacrificing. Let's say you have tickets to the 76ers or the Flyers or something. Your season ticket holder. Let's just say that for example. It may mean, you know what? I go every Friday to the Sixers game or whenever there's a Sixers game or something or Flyers game. It may say, you know what? in a penitential way, I'm going to die to that want, that desire. And I'm going to give those tickets to somebody. I'm going to bless another person. And I'm going to stay in a state of prayer in the evening, and I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to watch the game. And I'm going to do something in a penitential way to offer that back to the Lord, to die to myself. You could certainly do something on an outward level of visiting the sick or, feeding the homeless, or going to an abortion mill and praying this week. On Wednesday, I went to 12th and Locust Planned Parenthood as part of 40 Days for Life. That's an act. That's a penitential act right there. Who wants to be in front of the gates of hell for 3+ hours, right? That's not something that I crave. It's something I feel called to and something that I do so as to die further to myself, but also to help, to intercede, stand in the gap for those that are dying, for the preborn child, for the mothers and the fathers who are the victims as well, the wounded motherhood, the wounded fatherhood. These are acts of penance, right? A penitential act, the things that can be done. You think of the corporal works of mercy, all included in there. So throughout the year, we need to be thinking about these things. Just going to an extra mass, again, it's not really a penance, although, you know, if you wanted to stay and offer reparation and do the Stations of the Cross, that would tie in beautifully on a Friday. But we can't see our prayer life and just like spending more time in prayer as penance. That's a gift, right? Talking and having conversation with God, it's really not penance. Now you say, well, don't we say prayers, Mark, when we come out of the confession? Isn't that our penance? Yes, that's to make reparation for the temporal punishment that we're due. And some of that is removed. But that's a little different. I don't think that's what the church is talking about, like just beef up your prayers on this day. I think the church wants an act. I think the church wants us to move. Now, the act of not eating meat, that's an act of a movement of our heart, a movement of our whole disposition, right? Our intake of food. So there's a movement of the heart and the body and the mind and the soul all together. And I think when we're thinking of penitential acts, this is very true. This is true for us. Now, when you think of the church in times past, and I read this rather recently in comparison, and if I can pull it up here on my phone, I will. But there was a time in the church when the ancient practice of Lent was a lot more strict than what we experience today. And if I can pull this up on my phone, I'll read some of it to you. But what we're talking about is abstaining not just from meat, but abstaining from all indulgences. And there was a time in the church when people would abstain, of course, from those pleasures. And some of that would be the pleasures of the flesh, okay? Some of those pleasures of the flesh, of course, the marital embrace, as married couples would abstain on Fridays, and in fact, all of Lent, I think it was, if my memory serves correct. But nonetheless, it would be an act of great piety and an act of great abstinence to continue in that manner. In other words, Fridays meant to be a day of abstinence. So that should, in my humble opinion, I submit, should be all forms of indulgence, I think. I think that's a logical leap. However, a lot of the church has removed some of that strictness. I think we need to get back to some of that. In my own reflection, I would say, I think the church needs more of that. I think we need to start mastering ourselves. Ah, here it is. Okay. So, in the old school of the church, I want to share with you medieval Lent. This is like in the time of St. Thomas Aquinas. All right. The Catholic Church has decreased the austerity of Lent over the centuries. So it's not as challenging as it once was. Let me read for you some of the church's requirements of the faithful. All right. Let's reflect on some of these for just a second. The rules of medieval Lent. It was 46 days. It was 40 days plus six Sundays. Now, the church has removed the six Sundays. So now on this Sunday, there are many Easters, right? The church has said, no, that's not a day of Lent. But in the medieval times, it was all 46 days. And the fasting rules were this, as described by St. Thomas Aquinas. Ash Wednesday and Good Friday were black fasts. That meant no food at all. Today we have one meal and maybe two smaller meals or snacks. It was an all-day food fast, okay? No food from the waking until 3 p.m., the hour when Christ died. This practice of fasting until 3 p.m. goes back to the 5th century. So you couldn't even take in bread. We would typically do a bread and water fast today. But no food would have been taken from all night up to 3 p.m. Now, then there was no animal meat or fats. No lard, that is, received. Of course, that's kind of what we do today as well. Fish was allowed. We can get into why fish was allowed, but there were no eggs used, no dairy products, milk, cream, cheese, butter. This was very common in the Middle Ages. Catholics of the British Isles before the arrival of St. Augustine of Canterbury were still consuming dairy products and perhaps eggs during Lent. The Roman influence brought this to end. You think of why eggs are so instrumental and pivotal symbol of Lent. We hide eggs like Christ hid in the tomb, but also eggs were never eaten. So you see why there's great joy in the eggs. Wine and beer were allowed, actually, in the medieval Lent. Of course, you would abstain from those things, but probably on a Good Friday, of course, and Ash Wednesday. Medieval Europeans during Lent subsisted on bread, vegetables, and salt. No sexual intercourse between spouses during the month of Lent, during the whole month of Lent, 46 days. Pagan kings were pretty upset to learn about this after they married pretty Catholic princesses. No Sundays were taken off, as I said. All these rules applied to the 46 days. The six Sundays in Lent were relaxed liturgically, less penitential, of course, as I said. But the fasting and abstinence were not relaxed on Sundays as well during medieval time. For the Good Friday Black Fast, many would begin fast from Thursday night till about noon on Saturday. The Saturday vigil, Easter vigil, was usually celebrated about noon on Saturday, and this ended the Lenten fasting officially. How about that? You would go from Holy Thursday, Last Supper, to noon on Saturday. How about that? Wow. Quite a, this is only 600 or 700 years ago that this is what the church did. Now, what was it that changed? Breaking the no food fast before 3 p.m. began to creep in as early as AD 800. The reason we English speakers call 12 p.m. noon is because the liturgical recitation of the nones, the ninth hour or 3 p.m. in Latin, was moved up by hungry monks more and more until nones was celebrated as early as 12 p.m. So they could break fast and eat lunch. How about that? That's pretty interesting. In Germany, dispensations were given for consuming dairy products based on payment or performing good deeds. In honesty, wealthy people simply paid a fee to the diocese and were allowed to serve and eat dairy in their homes during Lent. It was a popular fundraising technique by German bishops. How about that? Dinner snacks were allowed at the time of reading the book of Colossians or Cassians. And so this snack became known as collation, the term which we still use today for a snack during fasting. With the advent of tea and coffee, it became allowable to have tea or coffee in the morning, and this was considered as not violating the fast before the nones. Over time, papal indults allowed meat on Sundays and then to other days of the week until only Friday remained meatless. Pope Paul VI in his 1966 Apostolic Constitution, Penitentiae, changed Lenten practice to what it is today. No meat, only fish, allowed on Fridays and Lent. One meal and two collations, snacks allowed on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. That's how it's evolved. So aren't you so glad that you didn't live 800 years ago, 1,000 years ago? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from our first break. But this is our Lenten journey. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace his last 30 seconds. Let's embrace the kenosis of Christ, the emptying of self. How can you empty yourself each and every day, but especially during Lent? What are you doing? We'll talk when we come back from this break about some of the things that my family and I like to do, and just to share for edification for you, but encourage you, and to enable you to think about these things further for yourself. So stay tuned. We'll come right back, talk about the Lent journey.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. From its modest beginnings in 1930 as Summer Brothers Plumbing and Heating in Gap, PA, to its merger with Zims Sales and Service in 1973, Summers and Zims has grown to be the recognized leader in the design, installation, and service of mechanical systems for industrial and residential needs. They can be contacted at 610-593-5129. Or you can visit their website at sumzim.com.
This could be you. You could stop the 61 million abortions that happen every year. You could be the one that ends the law of legal abortions, Roe versus Wade. You could be the voice that changed the hearts of many. I'm Katie Schreiner of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. As generations grow, one number at a time, there are physicians preventing future school teachers, lawyers, doctors, scientists, news anchors, and accountants from entering the world. Most young people believe in the pro-life movement. Abortions were the number one cause of death in 2018. Many young people are tired of unborn babies not being able to do the things that they can do. For more information on how to get involved, you can visit our website at www.paprolife.org. Be the reason that the voiceless can someday have a voice. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
On Monday, March 25th at 7 p.m., the Women's Evening Cafe and the Respect Life Committee of St. Peter and Paul Parish in Westchester, Pennsylvania, are hosting a very special presentation on the life of St. Gianna Mola. In her short life of 39 years, Gianna became a physician, a wife, a mother, and a great saint. Join us as we explore the life of this remarkable woman who gave her life so that her daughter, who is now a physician herself, could be born. Call 610-692-2216 for more information.
Welcome back to the King's Men. Mark Houck here talking to you today about the second week of Lent. We're talking about the way Lent was done 1,000 years ago in the medieval times, Thomas Aquinas, and 800, 900 years ago. So could you do it? Could you go without sex, butter, or bacon for 46 days? No food daily till 3 p.m. This was the requirements of all Catholics. No food daily until 3 p.m. And how I explained to you how, you know, monks moved that back to noon because they were getting tired of the journey. And eventually in 1966, Pope Paul VI, in his apostolic constitution, Pane Temini, changed the Lenten practice to what we know it today. So again, up until 1966, this was the practice. Very interesting to reflect on that. And is it to our benefit that everything has changed? I don't know. I'm not here today to submit that to you. However, I think that some of this needs to be reclaimed. Some of it. I would say it makes sense to not engage in the marital embrace during Good Friday, Ash Wednesday, and every Friday. I think that makes sense. I think, look, if the day's about abstaining, it's a whole day of abstinence. Okay, dying to self. Okay, abstinence is delaying gratification. Okay, so why would we gratify ourselves in all sorts of ways except food? I think to truly the spirit of Lent, it would make sense. It's logical. Does the church hold you to that? Are you in sin if you don't? Well, obviously Pope Paul VI removed that requirement. All right. However, I do think it's a holy and pious thought, and I think it would be good and pleasing to God if we restored some of that in our own personal practice. And I think that would make sense. There's no reason that we don't have to, there's no reason why we can't do that. The church says in 1966. Well, yeah, we get it. I understand the church does a lot of things differently than it did once. However, the pious act of abstaining just makes sense for your whole person to grow in virtue, to grow in your journey. And I submit that to you as something for you to consider and pray about. And I think it's it would be good and pleasing to the Lord, in my humble opinion. So here we are in the second week of Lent. How's it going for you? Have you offered something? Have you thought about what you're going to do for Lent? If you haven't done it and put it into practice yet, brother and sister in Christ, it's time to get going. Don't wait. This Lenten journey is like a blink of the eye sometimes. Here we are, spring is upon us. We've already started spring. We're not quite to the halfway point of Lent, but we're getting close. We really need to commit and do something difficult, you know, and challenging. I think every year everyone just defaults as, well, no candy, well, no sweets. Well, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. However, are you a sweet eater? For someone who's not a sweet eater, that's not much of a challenge. So if you're not much of a sweet eater, which I'm not really, so abstaining from sweets is not a big deal to me. I mean, I like a cookie here and there. I certainly enjoy a nice piece of cake or pie every once in a while. But, you know, some people have this as part of their regular diet. So I submit to you that if sweets is something that you've given up, that's a beautiful and holy thing. Don't feel bad about that. However, is it a challenge to you? I would invite you and any person that's out there to really pick something that's difficult. I mean, was carrying the cross difficult? I mean, I hate to be so in your face with that, but let's think about that. Was carrying the cross difficult? You better believe it was. And so our whole kenosis here of dying to ourselves, it should be difficult. My wife is really good at this. She always picks things that I would never think to pick. For instance, she likes to do bread offering during the month of Lent. I'm like, wow, bread really cross-pollinates with a lot of meals, pizza, all sorts of things, you know, with pasta dishes typically used. You know, when we fast, usually it's on bread and water, right? Now, my wife will say no bread. I'm like, wow, that's great because it's challenging. I tried that once with her. This year we gave up coffee. You know, as a father of six children, I kind of thrive on a cup of coffee. I kind of thrive on that in the morning. And it becomes sort of a habit, too. But, you know, the warm cup of Joe in the morning, and maybe I'll have a second if I'm having a tough morning. Who knows? I might even throw a third one in there in the afternoon. But my wife said, I'm giving up coffee this year. I said, oh, man, I don't want to be drinking coffee in front of her. Although she certainly would allow me to do that. I said, well, let me enter into that as well. And so this year we decided to do coffee. And I'm just throwing that out to you, not to impress you or, you know, pat myself on the back. I'm just throwing this out there as something to think about, as to something that's difficult and hard, you know, to think about how that might be pleasing to God and an offering acceptable to Him. I remember some college teammates of mine, they would, you know, in college was a time of, you know, some fun. And those who are of age would have a beer when they were of age. Some, of course, say not when they're of age. But I remember this football team, he would just give up alcohol for the month of Lent. I thought that was a really great thing. He just would give it up. And I thought that was just, you know, for a college kid on a pretty busy campus, the Catholic University in Washington, D.C., where, you know, that was offered at parties here and there. I thought that was a great and good and noble thing. So maybe you might want to give up alcohol for Lent. Maybe you like a nice glass of wine with your meal or after work. Maybe just give that up. Now, I know you're saying, Mark, why are you talking about giving up stuff? We already started Lent. But brothers and sisters in Christ, is it ever too late to start making sacrifice and dying to ourselves? I mean, it says, well, Lent's already started. I already made my commitments. Well, maybe you want to add something to it. Maybe you want to do a work of mercy. Every day in my family, my kids pick out from a jar. And each year we create a list of things that they can do that are difficult for them. They're 10, 8, 6, 5, 3, and 17 months. Difficult for them to do. And they pick every morning, and they, it's just something that I've picked for them to do, either to contribute to the house for the day or do something to reach out to others. So yesterday, they picked write a letter to grandma. That's right. How often do we write letters to people we love? It's a good and holy thing. It's actually a sign of holiness. People who write letters, it's actually considered a sign of holiness. Not an email, not a text message. write a letter. Purchase a card or some nice stationery and put some thoughts on paper and send it in the mail, snail mail. That's something that my kids were tasked with doing yesterday, and I took great joy in helping them do that, and we popped those letters in the mail, and that's a way for them to enter into Lent, to do something for somebody else. You know, Lent isn't always about, you know, sacrificing food or something. It's about dying to self and what we want to do. And sometimes taking the time to reach out to those in need or spending time with the lonely or comforting the sick, you know, that's an act as well. And during Lent, we should look to for these opportunities to interact with the brethren in Christ, you know, those that are not united with us in faith, to love them. You know, if someone is on the street and they ask you for a help, a leg up, a hand, maybe take pause and get them something to eat. Spend some time just having a conversation with them. How are you doing? What's your name? How are you managing in the cold out here? Do you need a coat? Maybe consider taking the coat off your own back and giving it to that person. These are all things that, yes, Lent's a great time to do. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to do this all throughout the year. When we think of the great sheep and the goats parable in Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about the separation of the sheep and the goats. It's not even a parable, really. It's really just Christ talking about the sheep being the people that we've taken care of. So Pope Francis would say, smell like the sheep. When you think of for all the things we do for one another, we do it out of love for Christ. When you visited me in prison, when you comforted me, when you clothed me, when you gave me food, anytime you did this unto the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. These are the sheep that enter in to the kingdom of God. Blessed by my Father. Welcome into the joy of your master's kingdom. And yet the goats are the ones that didn't do those things, didn't see those opportunities. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Lent is not the only time that we do these things. Every day of our life, we need to think. So Lent is a great way to kind of restart, a restart button, if you will. It's a do-over. Let's begin again. Let's take up the journey once again. The cross of Christ. Let's carry our own cross. Jesus says, you who cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you take up your cross and follow Christ. All right, so we must suffer in this life. We must die to ourselves to become like Christ. And so this time of Lent is the church's way of reminding us, yes, for 40 days we take extra care and there's some special attention given there. But this time of Lent is to say, are you doing this? Let's kick it into gear again. My wife likes to say that I want this to become a habit for me. I want my penances and my acts of dying to self during Lent to become a habit, become a virtue. What is a virtue? A firm and habitual disposition to do the good. That is what we're all about as Catholic Christians. And so that's what Lent does. It reminds us of what we should be doing. And it requires of us certain things to kick us in the rear, so to speak, in the hindquarters, and get us going. Get us going and moving and marching towards our own Calvary. Because it's coming. It's coming. The day of our judgment is coming. And so here we are in the second week of Lent, and I'm just kind of spitballing with you, just sharing a couple thoughts, things that help my family. Look, I'm not perfect. My family's not perfect. I don't have perfect kids. We're imperfect people. We're transformed through the sacraments. But speaking of which, Lent is a great time to return to the sacrament of penance. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Yes, these are the three tenets of Lent. But it's a time to return to penance, to return to receive forgiveness of our sins. And the church, in her wisdom, makes available to us in this great time of Lent, sometimes at certain parishes, the sacrament of penance is much more available. please, dear brother and sister in Christ, take advantage of that. If it's been a year, if it's been 2 years, so for some, we had a guy at our recent retreat, it's been over 10 years since he'd been to reconciliation. What joy! Jesus tells us that the angels in heaven, the saints in heaven, rejoice over the repentance of one sinner versus out of the 99 righteous out of 100, right? One sinner returning. There's more rejoicing in heaven than the 99 righteous who are doing what they're supposed to do. And what joy it is to come back to the sacrament of reconciliation. If you haven't gone this Lent, please, please let this be a reminder to you that you need this sacrament. The righteous man, says the good book, right, in the Old Testament, sins seven times a day. Seven times a day. And we'll talk about St. Joseph when we come back from this break. The scripture says that none were righteous, but then they refer to St. Joseph as being a righteous man. So this Joseph, set apart, different, not always like us, right? Yes, a sinner, but set apart. This Joseph, this special man, this special vocation. We'll talk about him. We just celebrated this past Tuesday, 20 years of evangelization on the airwaves here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia through Holy Spirit Radio. 20 years. Do you know how incredible that is? Think of, in the 20 years, daily Catholic radio. I don't know, what's that, 20 times 365? I can't do that math, but I'm going to do that. When I come back, I'll give you the number. All right? Think of that. How many souls have been saved through Holy Spirit Radio's Yes to God, right, through these airwaves? When I come back, I'm going to share with you what that number looks like. And we just celebrated 20 years, which is incredible for a nonprofit today to stay open that long. A lot of nonprofits fall within a year or two of starting. I think in the Obama administration, there was 150,000 nonprofit 501c3 organizations that closed per year. So I don't know if that was precipitated or prompted by the Obama administration. Nonetheless, it happened, right? So it's such a joy to have Holy Spirit Radio here on the airways, and we are listener supported, and we need your support. We need your prayers above all things. But please go to holyspiritradio.org, and maybe for Lent, I shared this with once my men's network. Bishop Barron shared on his podcast once, I think it was a couple of Lents ago, and he said, during the month of Lent, every time you get a letter in the mail for a request to support a priestly vocation or a religious order or a ministry, he said, for every envelope you get during the month of Lent, just make a donation. Just don't even think about it. Just make a donation. Make that part of your Lenten almsgiving. Wouldn't that be great to send Holy Spirit Radio a donation for Lent and Thanksgiving for 20 years of evangelization? I think it would be a great thing to do, and it's part of the almsgiving. You know, again, we're supposed to give alms all year, not just 40 days of the year. But, heck, we need to do it at least during Lent, right? So consider those things. Consider those things. With 1 minute left, my math is compiling here. We are coming up with a number. We are zooming in on a number. And you know what that number is? That number is 7,300 souls. All right, I'm just putting one soul a day, right? So 365 days a year, 20 years. That's 7,300 souls at minimum, right? That's one soul a day. We know that God will bless our work 20, 30, 50, 100-fold. We know that. So that number's a lot higher, but let's just look at that minimum. 7,300 souls that would have been affected, would not have been affected, perhaps, if Holy Spirit Radio wasn't here. I am one of those souls. I can count me as one of those souls. So in 30 seconds left, we're going to just reflect on the great good that God does when we step out in faith and we say yes to Him, especially during this month of Lent, a chance to say yes. We'll be right back. We'll talk about St. Joseph. Stay tuned.
On March 24th, Our Lady of Mount Carmel Youth Ministry in Doylestown, Pennsylvania is presenting two special talks featuring John Johnson, Associate Director of the Avila Institute. The first talk is for parents at 1 p.m., where John talks about helping teens navigate our modern culture. At 6 p.m., John will speak directly with teens on being all in with their faith. Both events will be held at the Our Lady of Mount Carmel St. Mary's Hall, directly across from the church. Email questions to OLMC Youth Ministry at Comcast.net.
Alan Ames, the Catholic evangelist and author from Australia, with a gift of healing, will be in the Philadelphia area on March 28th and 29th, 2019. He will bring his charism of healing to two parishes, Queen of the Universe, located at 2443 Trenton Road in Levittown, Pennsylvania, and St. Gabriel's Parish at 2917 Dickinson Street in Philadelphia. Alan's journey back to the sacraments began in 1993 when he saw his early life of violence and alcohol displayed before him and experienced how his sins and wrong ways had hurt God. So mark your calendars for either March 28th or 29th and come participate in Mass, Alan's talk, Adoration, the Rosary, and a healing service. Both begin at 7 p.m. For more information, contact Tom at 215-269-1579.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
This is Christ. Mark Halk with you. I just shared that, and Dale came in and he said, what was that number? So 20 years of Holy Spirit Radio being on the airwaves full time, 24 hours a day. I said, you know, just one soul. Let's reduce it to one soul a day saved or spared, whatever the word is. Say, let's just say saved. Can we be as bold as Christ wants us to be? Let's say one soul saved. That's 7,300 souls in 20 years. Now, that's way more than that. We know that. But Scripture says if you save one soul, you save your own soul. Think about that. 7,300 souls. We know that God is way more generous than just one soul, that He blesses our yes. And that number, if you think of just the podcasting, alone that has been generated through this program, through the Kingsmen program, which has generated two programs a month roughly since 2006. We've done over 200 programs for sure. Just think of I've ministered to people all over the world. I've ministered to people who are in Europe right now listening to this program. So you just think of just internet radio and people web streaming and EWTN. And all the people that are able to be touched by it, you think of that number. I can't even calculate that number, how many in 20 years have been brought to Christ. That number could be easily in the millions. But we just reduce it to one soul a day because that's what it comes down to. One sinner returning to relationship with God. One sinner who repents. There's more rejoicing in heaven than over the 99 out of 100 who don't need to repent. So that's kind of how we're working with God. He's very good to us. I want to talk to you about St. Joseph the Worker. I want to talk to you about St. Joseph the Spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I want to talk to you about this past feast day on St. Joseph. 20 years ago, that's when Holy Spirit Radio started, when they first went on the air. And like St. Joseph, they probably did not know all that they were being asked to do. If they knew then what they were being asked to do, they may not have done it. And same with St. Joseph. The angel Gabriel brought Joseph astonishing news. His wife Mary was with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph gave his entire self to serve Jesus and Mary. His character was proven in repeated difficulties, the journey to Bethlehem, the sojourn into Egypt, the loss and then the finding of the child Jesus in the temple at Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary's self-giving love for each other form the true and original domestic church that protected and nurtured Jesus. Together, they form the model for the Christian family. Having died in the company of Mary and Jesus, Joseph is considered the patron saint of a happy death. So Joseph, tasked with teaching the Word of God about the Word, Joseph, tasked with giving Jesus his heritage, his lineage, as a son of David, Joseph having to name Jesus, to give him his birth name, Yeshua, right? Joseph, who had to protect the identity of Christ and to protect and preserve the virginity of Mary. Joseph, tasked with so much, yet given very little information, just like Holy Spirit Radio 20 years ago, didn't know all the technological issues they might be encountering and all the things that I see Dale and Frank running around as I'm doing this program, dealing with the equipment, you know. I mean, it's just a lot that goes into a radio station, a radio program. I don't think we really appreciate in our listening audience all that is done to sustain the airwaves. Just think of the great purchase of the 1420 station that has expanded this outreach. It doubled the growth of the Souls Touched, essentially, as we are on 1420. To all our listeners on 1420, I pray that you give thanks for the great grace of Holy Spirit Radio in your community. It's been 20 years since we've been in 1570 in Doylestown area, and we pray for many more. But once again, this season of Lent is a season of almsgiving. Now, I find it fascinating how Joseph handled the money for the Holy Family. And I picked up some insights over the years from private revelation as to how Joseph conducted himself in the carpenter shop and the way he handled money. And the private revelation, the mystics reveal to us, like a Blessed Catherine Emmerich or a Saint Peter Julian Aimard or John Paul II, the people who are mystics, who see things that sacred scripture doesn't reveal. Again, this is private revelation. Venerable Mary Agreda, you know, people like that who've seen this hidden life of Christ and saw how Joseph conducted his affairs. They said that Joseph never charged anything for what he made in the carpenter shop. He wouldn't put a price to it. He asked the people to pay them what they thought it was worth. That was his policy. That was his business. That was his best practice. I can't imagine many of us who are business owners and entrepreneurs in our listening audience today who subscribe to that type of approach to business. But nonetheless, Jesus was meant to live a life of poverty, and Joseph was meant to provide for the family in such a manner. Wow. God, the King of Kings, condescending to come into the world to live a life of poverty when he has everything in heaven with his Father, everything he could ever want, condescends to come into the world and have nothing. Again, this kenosis of Christ, emptying himself, dying to himself for love of the Father, love of God's creation. So Joseph never charged anything, but the mystics say that people gave Joseph sometimes a just wage for the work he produced for them. Some people gave them more than it was worth, and some people gave them not much at all. When it came to the provision of the Holy Family, Joseph gave his family what he needed. In other words, he bought the food that he needed. He provided for the family where they needed to be provided for. And everything else, scripture, mystics say, he gave it all away. He gave everything of excess away. This was the way Joseph led the Holy Family in the domestic church, that domestic church in Nazareth. He gave everything away that he didn't need, the excess. So it's a challenge to us who are living above our means. Are you living above your means? Maybe this Lent you need to take a look at that. Do I really need all these cars? Do I really need 3 or 4 vacations a year? Do I really need to eat at 5-star restaurants every week? Michelin chefs, whatever. Look, I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just offering ideas. Do I need that Starbucks every day? Do I need that Starbucks? Can I make my own coffee at home? Can I give that money to Holy Spirit Radio? Can I send that to a cause that's doing apostolic work and doing the cause of kingdom work on this earth? This is something for us all to consider. The challenge for us is to live below our means. Not at our means, but below our means. To take what we need, but to really teach our children and learn to do without in some respects. Do you have always got to have all the latest and greatest gadgets? You know, when the new iPhone comes out, is that got to be yours? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, can you live off that margin? Is it possible? Is it possible for you to do with less? This is going to be a challenge for those who have much. For those who have much, this is your challenge in life. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Now, the needle was a gate in Jerusalem. So it's easier for a camel to navigate through this really thin gate than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus said. So, look, I don't know how hard it was for a camel to maneuver in through this gate, but apparently it was pretty tight. These are words of warning, right? These aren't words from 2,000 years ago. These are words for us today. And I heard it once said that if you have $2 worth of change in your car, this is taking into, factoring in all the third world countries. All the third world countries, our country, and those that are like us. If you have $2 worth of money in your car, just in like your change section of your dashboard, that you're richer than 96% of the whole world. Did you ever hear that before? I mean, that really factors in all the poor and the marginalized and the third world. If you've been to third world, that's not a surprise, right? You've been to Jamaica. You've seen some places in Africa. You've seen Haiti. You've seen some of these places that don't even have running clean water for their children. You know, you hear that stat and you're like, yeah, I know, that makes sense. If I have $2 in change. But many of us who have $2 in change, I mean, that's all we have. We might think, geez, we're not doing so well in life. Well, I mean, think of the great gift of where you live and the opportunities and freedoms that you have to make money, to earn a living, even if it's for $7, $8, $9, $10 an hour. You know, maybe you might think, well, I'm below the poverty line. And maybe you are in American standards, but not in world standards, by no means. So this time of almsgiving is meant for people like me who are in ministry and for rich and wealthy people and people who have everything in between. Okay, it's for all of us. So as we think of St. Joseph and how he conducted his affairs, and again, God wanted Jesus, the Father wanted the Son to live a life of poverty. Why? Reflect on that this Lent. Why did the Son have to come in the world and be poor? Is there value to that? Does Christ's presence in that life of poverty bring value to it for us? Is there a message there for us? Does Christ want us to learn of him in this regard? I think he does. Be like me, he says, for I am meek and humble of heart. I am a man of great strength and power, yet I choose to surrender that. You could be a person of great means and wealth, and you can choose not to live. I have a friend who's very wealthy, extremely wealthy. I wouldn't say a person's name. This person drives around in a beat-up old Honda Accord. I love it. They donate millions to organizations, and they drive a really beat-up old blue Honda Accord. And I think it's just great. I think it's awesome. I'm just sharing that with you because it inspires me. It inspires me. So with 2 minutes left, here we are in the second week of Lent. I'm just talking about where we're at. We talked about medieval Lent, so give thanks you didn't grow up in Thomas Aquinas' time, or at least pre-1966. And we have this lapse kind of attitude about Lent, given the church has loosened some of the requirements. Nonetheless, think of the benefit of adding more to your journey. Not just doing the bare minimum. Well, the church tells me I need to do this. Just, are we all about the bare minimum? Just like getting a C grade, you know, C's get degrees, as my friend used to say in college. Are you all about just making, just barely passing? Or is God requiring and asking you to do just a little bit more? Is it possible this Lent you can do just a little bit more for the Lord when it comes to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving? I'm inviting you, I'm challenging you, especially the men in the audience, to really consider this, to take it to another level in the old cliche, to take it to a new level of dying to self, that kenosis of Christ. How can you empty yourself this next 3-4 weeks? How can you die, right, spiritually? Die to yourself spiritually. Die to yourself material when it comes to worldly things. I'm giving a talk tonight. I asked for your prayers at Regina Luminous Academy, and we're going to be talking about navigating through the toxicity of the culture. I ask you for your prayers tonight as I present to these wonderful families that will be coming there to hear a little bit of inspiration during their Lenten journey. We're talking about some of the same things we're talking about here on the show today, but we're talking about navigating through the toxicity that is available to us, to our children in this culture. Thanks be to God for Holy Spirit Radio. It is a beacon of hope. It is an oasis for us who want to break away from that toxicity. And you better believe I will be talking about Holy Spirit Radio tonight, that it's an opportunity for us to break away from the toxic Hollywood mass media deluge of indulgence. How about that? We'll talk next time. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.